Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
This is still a consideration, a legit and serious consideration, getting rid of Speaker Mike Johnson. Tony Katz today. You would hope Republicans would have learned, and the answer is nah. Why learn? Why should we ever learn? You allow this to happen, we'll remove you as Speaker. Like, for example, funding Ukraine.
Let me ask you about the Speaker of the House, because you know that some Republicans oppose him putting a Ukraine aid bill on the floor. Do you think he could lose his speakership over this, Congressman?
It's possible. I'm not going to deny it. We have one or two people that are not team. They're not team players. They'd rather enjoy the limelight, the social media. And the fact is, with a one-seat majority, and we'll end up with a three- or four-seat majority after some special elections, but that's not a 435 people. It's a very narrow majority. And one or two people can make us a minority. Yeah. And I'm of the view, you work with a team. I don't have to get 100%. 80% is the Ronald Reagan rule. But we have some people that if they don't get 100%, they want to bring the House down. And it makes us dysfunctional. Yeah. And so that's a possibility. I do think there will be Democrats, though, who do not want to see this dysfunction. And I think they'll probably vote present or maybe not be there for a vote. But it is very likely that after this Ukraine bill, we may have a standoff with the Speaker. I hope the Speaker prevails. He's doing the right thing. It's in our national security interest that Ukraine remain independent.
Now that's Congressman Don Bacon out of Nebraska. I favor funding Ukraine. I just favor securing the border first. I don't know how we haven't done more on this. Especially as we talk about the tuberculosis cases being up. Oh, no, not just measles. Tuberculosis cases being up. The AP wants, the Associated Press is trying to hide the reality that an open border means you have people coming in who aren't subjected in their nations to the health requirements and the sanitary conditions that we are. They have diseases that we don't deal with now. And an open border means danger for every citizen in the country, including the children. I thought we cared about children. I thought they were the future. But if you're talking about the idea of getting rid of the Speaker because you might get Ukraine funding, I believe that Congressman Bacon is right, and I don't often agree with the man. That you have people who this is where they create their world, right? Everyone is the leader of their own digital fiefdom. These are my followers. I have to take care of them because that's where the future is. That's the only thing that matters. There was no value in getting rid of Kevin McCarthy. We see that. I said it then. I said it now. No one has changed my mind. Lots of people didn't like Kevin McCarthy. I didn't ask if you liked him. I don't care if you liked him. Liking him was totally inconsequential. It meant nothing. It still does. Like Kevin McCarthy. What, was I setting you guys up on a date? I don't know. Maybe he'd give you his Letterman jacket? What kind of nonsense is this? Don't care. You gained nothing by removing him. You then created an issue, which you didn't look great in. Nothing got done, which maybe you liked. And then you got Speaker Mike Johnson because he was the only palatable guy. You couldn't get Jim Jordan. You couldn't get Steve Scalise. No, people wouldn't go for that. So you got Mike Johnson. And now people will get rid of Mike Johnson. You wait till the election. You win the election. You elect a new speaker. And you win the election with a majority not of 3, not of 4, not of 5, as Congressman Bacon is talking about, but of 33, 34, 35, 53, 54, 55, 83, 84, 85. You see that? That's the majority. And then you can go to town. But you got to deal with your reality. And I love it when the purists tell me, no, Tony, you're wrong. We have to do this now. No, you're wrong. And I want to say for the record, not a purist. I am a big believer in incrementalism. It is the recognition that you don't always get what you want, but you try. You find sometimes. If you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. Man, if I had said that right the first time, oh, the Rolling Stones would be so proud of me. But it's true. You don't get it all. You take a big bite at the apple, but you only get a little bite. Take the little bite. And then, after you get the little bite, you go at it again. Have we learned nothing of the tenacity of the political left? Go after it again and 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 again. Wait for it. And again and again and again and again. Just keep going at it bit by bit and bit by bit. Change the dynamic. Change the tone. We talk about how the political left has moved the center line, right? What was considered a centrist is now considered hard right because they've moved further left. To give you an example, under Barack Obama, we talked about Obamacare. Obamacare was, of course, insane. Forced universal health care, forcing you into contract. Obamacare is now a centrist argument compared to where they are in their Medicare for All, Bernie Sanders nonsense, and other things that they believe in. How in the world did that happen in a decade? Because they kept at it and kept at it and kept at it and kept at it, and the ideas got more and more radical, and more of their lefties immediately glommed onto it because that's who they are and that's what they do. That is who they are, and that is what they do. It's part of their culture. It's part of their political makeup. It's the reason why when you see a group engage in censorship, right? They wouldn't publish such a thing because they didn't something political this, and it was going to offend this group that, and you're like, that's terrible. But you then go to work. You then go on to a hobby. You're playing golf. You're playing with the kids. You're doing whatever. You have a life. They have an ideology. And that puts people like you and me at a very distinct disadvantage. We have a life and all of these like desires and wants and enjoyments and fulfillments. They have the radicalness of their ideology that they live with, breathe with, and sleep with. They're different. But it allows them to be better at organizing, and it allows them to be better at continuing to move forward on destructive forces. You think it's destructive, but my God, you got to go see the kids play tonight. My God, you're going to go meet friends over here. You're going to go vacation here. It's Easter over here. You're going to celebrate. Not the transgender day of visibility, as Joe Biden put it, but I'll get to that coming up in a little bit. And it's true. So that's how a lot of these things work. If you want to combat that, you have to have strong majorities, and then you're able to go for even larger bites of the apple, and if you get small ones, it's easier to go back at it. You don't have that right now in the House of Representatives. You got 2, 3, 4, 5 votes, depending on the day of the week. And yes, Speaker Mike Johnson, if you were to pull him and have a motion to vacate, you didn't gain anything. You just looked a damn fool. You have an election coming up in November. Win more seats, control the House, then make a change. That's the rational mind. The irrational mind says vacate the chair. Everybody pushing to vacate the chair is wrong as a matter of just tactical decision. It is wrong. We're not going to agree to disagree, and I want to make sure we're clear on this. To remove Mike Johnson is the wrong move. But it is the move of people who are more interested in their fiefdom than they are in actually doing something. Doing something involves the doing and sometimes involves the compromise that sucks. Now, I agree, can't compromise on everything. Some things, there is no compromise. The compromise between bread and poison is still death. That's Ayn Rand I'm quoting there. And she, deadly accurate. Some things you don't get everything you want. You just keep moving forward. Now, you say to me, Tony, is Ukraine funding something that we could say I've had enough of this on? The answer is yes. I would not vote for Ukraine funding until I had border funding. but I still wouldn't remove the speaker for it. Because now we're getting into it, right? We said where we would vote. Notice I didn't say that everyone should vote for the Ukraine funding. No part of me has said that. Even though I believe we should do it, no part of me says we should do the Ukraine funding. We should do border funding first. It has to happen first. The southern border is more important than Ukraine. It is. I have to rank these. These are two terrible things. It would be better if Joe Biden actually had control of the border or wanted control of the border. Remember when he said he had to pass legislation so he would have the power to engage control? Then he said he was going to engage executive orders to engage control. And now he's doing nothing because control is not the name of the game. The border was a hot subject for the political left for about 6 minutes. I mean, in the timeline of things, 6 minutes. We should have a secure border. And if I have to rank the secure border versus helping Ukraine stop Russian aggression, I want to do both. But if I have to rank them, I am putting the southern border first. I would say this to Speaker Johnson if I was a member of Congress. I would say this to the press if I was a member of Congress. No question. I'm putting the border first. It isn't equal. The United States comes first. And I would vote against any Ukraine funding that didn't have the border funding first. That said, I wouldn't move to vacate the speaker. We are on two different subjects here, and it is imperative that we are all on the same page. Removing the speaker is the subject, and that is insane. It is a terrible, nonsensical, garbage idea. It is the idea of failure. It is the idea of the fool. It is the idea of the radical ideologue who will never, ever, ever, ever get anything done. And removing Kevin McCarthy proved it. So, now here we are. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if there's going to be a motion to vacate. I do know this, whether it's Marjorie Taylor Greene, this doesn't seem to be coming from Matt Gaetz, whether it's coming from Marjorie Taylor Greene or others. If they make a motion to vacate, they're the ones who should be vacated. They're the ones that should be vacated. If you make a motion to vacate the chair, we don't need you in the House. You're a waste of time. And we don't have time to waste. I'm Tony Katz, and this is Tony Katz Today.
Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
So now Cuba Gooding Jr. is part of a sexual assault ring of sex trafficking with P. Diddy? What in the world is this? Tony Katz Today, trying to keep up with this story. So you have Sean Combs, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy. Dear Lord, don't make me say it again. His homes get raided, right? One in Los Angeles, one in Miami. And it's sex trafficking and a whole host of other things. And there is a producer suing Sean Combs for sexual assault and harassment and has now added Cuba Gooding Jr., the actor, to the list. Is it Cuba or is it Cuba? I think it's Cuba. I think that's how you pronounce it. Neither here nor there. He's a weird story. He wins Best Supporting Actor for Jerry Maguire. You know, Show Me the Money. And his entire career ends. He did the scuba movie, it wasn't scuba. It was a military thing with Robert De Niro. I think that was afterwards. He did the radio where he plays somebody with mental issues. Like, no career, like, gone. I never understood it. By the way, if you want to feel old, Gooding won the Oscar in 1997. 1997. So this guy, this producer, Rodney Little Rod Jones, not little, Lil Rod. L-I-L-R-O-D, Lil Rod. It sounds like I'm saying I did a rod. Lil Rod. Rodney Lil Rod Jones claims that Gooding sexually harassed and assaulted him on Sean Combs' yacht. So now, Cuba Gooding Jr. is a co-defendant. Jones is the guy who filed the lawsuit against Combs and several others, saying that Combs forced him to solicit sex workers and engage in unwelcome sex acts. The lawsuit, which is filed in the Southern District, accuses Sean Combs of, quote, grooming him to pass off to his friends, claiming that one of those friends was Cuba Gooding Jr. Now, I will remind you of this right here from a comic, Cat Williams, on the podcast with Shannon Sharp.
It's God's side and the other side. And we don't care nothing about the other side. Period. All of these big deviants is all catching hell in 2024. It's up for all of them. It don't matter if you Diddy or whoever you is, T.G. Jakes, any of them, all lies will be exposed. That's all. And anyone who takes that the wrong way, know why they take it the wrong way.
It doesn't matter if you're P. Diddy. He says the words. I mean, that podcast from Cat Williams, man, that was the story. That was everywhere. And if we want to talk about quote-unquote black culture, it was everywhere. Crazy. Crazy stuff. And then 3-4 months later, here's this. If you want to tell me that Hollywood is full of deviants, I will agree with you. But just as a reminder, the deviants are also people who stay silent. If we take a look at the Damon Affleck, Harvey Weinstein crew, how many stayed silent when he was abusing everybody under the sun? The silence is a part of this. But I want to make sure we're clear about something. This is allegation. You're innocent until proven guilty. And Combs should be thought of as innocent until proven guilty. But there's a lot of accusers. There's a lawsuit from one singer in November of 23 accusing him of rape and sex trafficking. Then there's another woman saying that Sean Combs drugged and raped her in New York City in 1991. Then there are two Jane Does, so not using the real names here, about how Sean Combs and another singer-songwriter took turns raping her. It is unreal. Here's another one saying that Sean Combs was among three men who gang-raped her when she was 17. And people look at this stuff like, wow, how salacious. This is twisted and sick. And now Cuba Gooding Jr.? I don't. Again, innocent until proven guilty, because that is the only way it can be. But dear Lord, eventually you see enough of these cases and you're like, there really is something ugly here. Why does Hollywood allow that? This is Tony Katz Today.
At the Department of Education, we know that all students do their best when they're seen and they're supported. To the many transgender students across the country listening on this Trans Day of Visibility, we in the Biden-Harris administration want you to know that we see you, we support you, and we celebrate you. We also know it's not an easy time to be you. Walking into a classroom should be an act of hope, not an act of bravery. But every day you choose to show up as your true self, you make this world a more brave, more honest, and more free place. In your gift for seeing things as they could be, I see the promise of America. Today, we at the Department of Education want you to know that your school, your community, and your country are better because you're a part of it. You don't just belong here. We need you here. From all of us here at the Department of Education, happy Trans Day of Visibility.
You understand that Miguel Cardona is pushing kids towards mental illness. He's the Secretary of Education. You just heard him. He's pushing mental illness on children. For that, he should be thrown out of the position. He's not decent, he's not good, and neither are the people who push mental illness on children all across the country. They are disgusting people doing something disgusting, and we should say so. I have been... The expression would be racking my brain. I have been consumed to an extent with this idea of how does one properly push back against madness? And the only answer I can come to is with force. Why would you ask? Tony Katz today. What is going on, everybody? Find everything I do at TonyKatz.com. Miguel Cardona is a terrible man. He wasn't any good when he was running education in the state of Connecticut as the education secretary, pushing a Trans Day of Visibility while wearing one of those ridiculous flag pins. You understand those pins. It used to be, you know, the rainbow, and it was about gay pride. And now it's a political symbol about progressivism, about something that is wholly un-American and indecent, the abuse of children, pushing children to say, I'm this or I'm that when it's not possible. Pushing children into puberty blockers, pushing children into surgeries, pushing children. You have the United Kingdom, which has said we no longer give out puberty blockers. You have in France that has put out reports that said the idea of surgeries, these gender assignment surgeries on children is the political scandal of our time. And there's Miguel Cardona smiling like a freak. Honestly, smiling like a creep. I should post the picture of him because you know 4 seconds from this photo, he wants to lure you back to a windowless van. That's, oh, I apologize for nothing. Zero. This is my point. How else should one possibly deal with these kinds of cretins? It is the abuse of children. Now, you understand that Miguel Cardona, the Treasury Secretary, is only taking his cues from Joe Biden, who on Easter declared it a Transgender Day of Visibility or Transgender Visibility Day, as if somehow the so-called trans community isn't seen. First things first, there is no trans community. Let me say that as clear as day. Now, for those of you who want to get angry with me, calm yourselves. You look silly. I've also said there's no Jewish community. There isn't. There's no black community. What are we even talking about? These are ways to divide. Jews do not work in a monolithic block. Neither do black people. Neither do gay people who have been lumped into this LGBT nonsense. Gay people, lesbian people, bisexual people are not part of the T. It is a completely different thing. Stop abusing gay people. It's weird. But for people like Miguel Cardona, it's just part and parcel of what you do. Divide, 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 tear apart, and of course, obfuscate. But most importantly, abuse. This whole Trans Day of Visibility is abusive. You're pushing children towards mental illness. He's taking his cues from Joe Biden, who said Easter is Transgender Visibility Day. Now, I was discussing this earlier, and I am like you. Of course Joe Biden knew what he was doing. Nope, wait, he had no idea what he was doing. Joe Biden never knows what he's doing. Joe Biden doesn't have a single cogent thought in his head.
Name me one.
I can't. That's my whole point. His team knew what they were doing. They knew exactly what they were doing when they looked at all the Christians across America, gave them the finger, and said, suck it. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Transgender Visibility Day on Easter. No, it's not just my opinion. They knew what they were doing. They meant it as a middle finger. They meant it to be hateful. But when your desire is not about acceptance, but about destruction, well, what else would you expect? And so we're clear, it is not about acceptance. It is about destruction. Let me bring you a story. This is the Daily Mail. Duke University researchers, by the way, a reason not to send your kids to Duke, and I'm glad they lost. NC State going to the Final Four. Good. Wow, that's rough. Duke University researchers helped transgender woman, 50, breastfeed her grandchild using experimental hormone drugs so she can feel what it's like to be a real mom. But critics call it frankly disturbing. Oh, is that what the critics call it? They call it frankly disturbing? It's an obscenity. It is ridiculous. It is not only just dress up. Wait a second, everybody. Let me say this as clearly as I can. There is no doubt that gender dysphoria is real. And there is no doubt that there are people around the globe who truly feel that they were born into the wrong body. That's real. We have data on this. We can go through studies on this. What we see today, whether it's as Abigail Schreier discusses it within women or girls, Jonathan Haidt, the social psychologist, also being able to show this in clusters, and I'll get to that. That is not transgenderism. That is social contagion. And that is playing dress up. What Dylan Mulvaney is doing, he isn't being a woman. He's in woman face. It's cartoon-esque. And by the way, not even a woman, some prepubescent girl. I actually think the whole thing is a sociological experiment. I think that the whole thing is nothing more than this Dylan Mulvaney dude. Like, he's going to write the greatest book of all time. Just what can you get away with? If you just commit to the bit, what can you get away with? He's the Andy Kaufman of his generation. The guy who was with the Bud Light. And I say guy because he's a guy. He's not a woman. He'll never be a woman. It doesn't matter what Lady Gaga says. And for the record, Lady Gaga, you are not kind and decent, and you are not protecting the little monsters, which is what she calls her fan base. I'm not calling people monsters. You are pushing abuse. Now, you don't see it this way, Lady Gaga, and I understand that. It's because you don't have friends who talk to you like this, who engage with you like this. You need to expand the friend base. You need to expand your outreach. You believe that you should love people for who they are. But that doesn't mean we don't recognize who they are is having an issue. So when I discuss the idea that Miguel Cardona is pushing mental illness and supporting mental illness and wanting more mental illness, that's exactly what I said. And it's exactly what I meant. And Lady Gaga, you're doing that as well. If you want to sit there and hang out with Dylan Mulvaney and somehow come to this theory that Dylan Mulvaney is a woman, well, you're just wrong. You will always be wrong, and I don't know why you want to erase yourself. If Drew Barrymore is going to take a knee and show her love for Dylan Mulvaney, she can, but Dylan Mulvaney is a man and will always be a man and will die one. Gender dysphoria states that there are some people who feel that they are in the wrong body. And there are some people who want to dress in a different way and call themselves a different name, to which I don't have argument. You're free to live your life. You are not free to push mental illness on children. And that's where people like Miguel Cardona are disgusting. But what Joe Biden did was different. The Biden team said, let's burn it all down. Just like what we're seeing with this Duke conversation, some man can't claim they're a woman and breastfeed their grandchild. No part of this works. So all of this is about a destruction of norms, a destruction of standards. Oh, well, I guess that's okay, because who am I to say? You are to say. Part of what I think has gone wrong is the idea that somehow to have a judgment, to be judgmental, to make a claim of right and wrong, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov, the evil and the good, as I utilize the Hebrew there, somehow that is unacceptable. As a matter of fact, how dare you? And who do you think you are? I know exactly who I am. Grandmothers don't breastfeed grandchildren. That would be a super rarity. And men are not women. You want me to somehow erase that boundary, and I won't do it. I'll never do it. As a matter of fact, I think the people who say that should be pushed back upon, wait for it, with force. I cannot give up on this concept. You see, the people who tell you that you know, how dare you question it, you will get attacked and vilified. Abigail Schreier, who has been writing on this subject, and she's got a new book out called Irreversible Damage, which discusses this exact subject. She has a publisher in Japan that received threats over the plan to publish her new book, Irreversible Damage. It's the old book. It's the 2020 book. Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters. This book is a must read. This is a must. You must at least be familiar with it, I should say. So people threatening a publisher, don't you dare publish that book. You see, they feel like they can threaten all they want. They feel like they can use force all they want. They feel like they can attack all they want. And what I say is they cannot be allowed to get away with it. So what Abigail Schreier has noted is that her Japanese publisher has stated, quote, we will publish the book and not bow to this malicious pressure. That is fighting back with force. That is force. What did you think it was? Because I don't know, depending on what you thought, it could very well be that. But also force is not giving in. J.K. Rowling fights back with force. A level of celebrity, and we would disagree on a million different things politically, but a man is not a woman and a woman is not a man, and she's not going to sit here and be told otherwise. You want to go after her books? You want to go after her publishing? She sits upon her millions, if not billions, and says, kiss off. Or whatever they say in the UK. I don't know if it's kiss off. They might have another... She might call somebody a wanker for all I know. You know? I'm not sure. These people are engaged in some of the most horrific arguments, horrific conversations, and great evil. Purposefully, willfully, wantonly, joyfully abusing children. Jonathan Haidt is on firing line. He is a social psychologist. Been reading more and more of his stuff. Listen.
So there's very important older research by Nicholas Christakis and James Fowler, where they looked at they had gigantic health data sets, the Framingham Heart Study, and they were able to see that, you know, if one person takes up smoking, their friends are more likely to take up smoking, but actually so are their friends' friends. And even friends, friends, friends. So the things we do spread out through social network. We affect each other. Now, it turns out, when you're looking at emotions, girls and women, when this study women, when a woman is depressed, that spreads out to her network. Whereas when a man is depressed, it doesn't. Women talk about their feelings. They're more connected in that way. Girls, you're connecting on social media. Where it just turns out, in many communities, the more anxious and depressed you are, the more you get support. The more extreme your symptoms, the more you get likes and followers. You know, of course, it's good to destigmatize mental illness. We don't want people to be ashamed, but boy, is it a terrible idea to valorize it. to tell young people, you know what? The more you have this, the more popular you'll be, the more support you'll get. And so you get this explosion, not just of anxiety. Anxiety is in part, I think, spread sociogenically, it's called, by, from social causes, not from internal causes. But we get it for dissociative identity disorder, and it seems to be the case for gender dysphoria as well.
The data is the data is the data when we talk about this social contagion. But he also is bringing up something very important regarding the idea of trauma. Because we look at a trauma and we say, okay, how do we get past this to get on with our lives? But I forget the name of the author, a fiction author, wrote this, and I want to give her all the credit in the world, so this isn't me. What do you do when the trauma is the most interesting thing about you? You capitalize on it. You try and monetize it for a reputation capital, whatever you can. You build upon it. It's not the thing to get past. It is the thing to lift up. Just as Jonathan Haidt is saying there. The abusing of our children should be pushed back upon with force. Every single day. Every hour, every minute, everywhere. J.K. Rowling, in some cases, Abigail Schreier's publisher, in some cases, and you and me. I'm Tony Katz, and this is Tony Katz Today. Hamas not just decimated in Gaza, but completely ripped apart. What the IDF has done and how they engage this ground offensive, this type of warfare, urban warfare, it's rewriting the books. Tony Katz Today. Hamas is admitting that they cannot keep up with the Israeli onslaught. And there is now a real conversation as to whether or not they will disperse, head to other countries, and start operating like ISIS. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to come back in some form. The terrorists will come back, which is why I've discussed the fact that Gaza has to be in Israeli or some other hands. They can't have self-rule. The hate will just continue. That stinks, but that's reality. You need time to get that out of people's heads. Meanwhile, the fight continues. And the push for ceasefire is as despicable and disgusting as ever. Taking the side of Hamas is always gross. Hamas leaves, we have peace. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Tomorrow, everyone, take care.